Hendry.
And welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, and online at philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. You know, where life is, it's a beautiful thing over at philhendryshow.com. If you get a backstage pass, then you have access to all of our audio, which goes back over 10 years. You have access to our video archives. We keep a five-day archive up, and we're going to begin to expand that, but for now, just the five-day archive. We also have a year's worth of our Saturday night shows that are both archived video as well as audio. And that's a show we don't do anymore, so that's a
rare find as well.
And, of course, we have our nightly video cast, and we keep an archive of that. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. What were we talking about, Dan? Can you refresh, because Bud and Robert are out of the room. What was the story? Oh, the guy, Walenda, thank you very much. Where are those guys, Bud?
What?
Where were you guys?
Well, let's give them
what are those?
Cactus coolers.
Cactus coolers, huh? Why don't you cats come in here when the show starts?
What do you need?
Well, I found out from Dan already what we were talking about during the break.
Yeah, that was the Walenda on the high wire.
I know already, all right? I got it already. So here's the thing. Here's what's happening, and we're going to be getting on the line here Jeff Dowder of... he is a part-time professor of mechanical physics at Caltech University to talk a little bit about the Walenda, and this young man's name is Nick Walenda, his walk across Niagara Falls on a high wire, which was attempted and successfully completed. But the name Walenda probably rings a bell with all you guys because you've heard of the flying Walendas. Well, that was a family of circus performers.
What do you mean circus performance?
I mean, like, they were in a circus, you know.
Well, they were like not the Elephant Man. Yeah, that's the Elephant Man?
Not the Elephant Man. What are you, crazy? That's a freak show. That's a sad, sad relic of the past. That doesn't happen. That's against the law now. You mean showing poor human beings with physical deformities?
That's what a circus is.
No, it is not. Have you guys ever been to a circus?
No, I've never been one.
A circus is, at its very best, the circus showed all kinds of marvelous displays of acrobatics, and there were clowns, and it was something that people enjoyed going to, you know.
What about the Elephant Man?
The Elephant Man's got nothing to do with a circus. That was a poor man that was mistreated by these individuals that like to show human deformity and pass them off as some sort of freakish animals. It was a very sad aspect to human behavior, and it was allowed at one time in this country. We don't allow it anymore.
Bit like P.T. Barnum.
Well, you know, if you want to be honest, yeah, P.T. Barnum engaged in a lot of that.
Yeah, you're saying about what a great American he is and everything.
Wait a second. What are we going to do here now?
No, you what, man? You said P.T. Barnum, one of the great American of all time, and he was a hero of yours.
Yeah, that's what you said.
Okay, now hold a minute. You know, you guys, I don't mind you bringing this stuff up, but it's taking us way off the topic, all right? I said P.T. Barnum was a con man of the highest order. I said, in that respect, I've got a lot of respect for him. I have a high regard for anybody that puts it over on people, because you know what? It's their own damn fault. Having said that, some of the stuff that he did, I don't admire, but I'm not, you know, he was a man who lived in the 1840s, the 1850s. It was a different time, it was a different America. We didn't know anything about, well, what the hell was a Siamese twin? And
what is that?
Yeah, they still don't know what that is.
Yes, they do. What do you mean they don't know what that is? And we didn't know about these things. P.T. Barnum collected all of these oddities
Who that midget they had?
Don't say midget. It's not nice.
Yeah, it's like saying an N-word only on a little man.
No kidding?
Yes, yes, that's true. Little people is what they want to be called. Make a long story. I don't even know where I am. You guys have got me sidetracked.
Sorry for asking a question.
Well, don't ask any more questions. Oh, man. Tom Thumb.
Who's he?
The guy that Robert was, the little man.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, no, no, no. That's the guy of the book. He said Tom Twist. Remember?
No, it's not Tom Twist. You idiots thought you were thinking of the Charles Dickens book, Oliver Twist, and you're going Oliver Thumb. That ain't the same guy. okay? Oliver Twist didn't even exist. It was a made-up fictional book by Charles Dickens.
And a guy named Charles Dickens exists.
Yeah, I don't think he was made up.
No, he wasn't made up. He was a great writer. Charles Dickens wrote Oliver Twist.
All right. Who was Tom Twist?
There wasn't any Tom Twist, smartass. It was Tom Thumb. Oliver Twist, fake. Tom Thumb, real.
And was Oliver Twist the midge? Or what was it?
Oh, so you're calling him a midge. Is that your way of getting away with not saying the full word?
Well,
you can't say that, man. It'd be like calling me. Well, you better not say it.
All right, I'm moving on, and I'm not going to answer any more questions.
I just want to know if Oliver Thumb was a midget.
I'm going to kick your ass. Watch out, that lady call. I don't care if she calls. We had that lady call last night. I don't know if you guys hung around. Mrs. Karen is her name, and she calls every time I threaten to kick Bud's ass because she thinks I'm abusing the handicapped. We had to explain to her there ain't nothing handicapped about Bud other than the fact that he ran his head through a tree at 90 miles an hour once.
Yeah, I got a plate in my head.
Yeah, it don't make you any dumber. What made you dumber was being born.
Shut up!
All right. 877-876-PHIL. Look at all the time I'm wasting with you guys. We're talking now about Nick Wallenda and this astonishing feat, walking over the falls at Niagara. Now, it's an interesting fact, folks, that it's a very interesting thing about America. 116 years ago, it was the same thing. We were fascinated with guys that were going over Niagara Falls on a high wire. The country was riveted by this kind of an event back in the 1890s. And today, even though we have competition of all kinds for our attention on television and elsewhere, today it's not much different. We're still fascinated by people that attempt to take this very dangerous journey on a wire across Niagara Falls. Now, in the case of Nick Wallenda, who is an heir to the Wallenda, and I'm not going to get into a discussion of what a circus is because you guys are so stupid, man. I got me sidetracked 10 full minutes. He is an heir to the Wallenda, Flying Wallenda family. They were acrobats. And I was saying to Dan, is this something that genetically is passed from father to son? Because I swear to God, to go over Niagara Falls on a high wire like that, I think there has to be a piece of your fear component missing. I don't mean it's a defeating fear. I think you have to, it can't be there. Now, the guys that did it, there's stories of guys that have gone over the, gone across Niagara Falls on a high wire. Some of these guys do it smoking a cigarette. Some of these guys have got a guy on their back. Some of them sat down in a chair. I don't know how the hell he did that. One guy ate an omelet, you know.
Did he make the omelet on a wire?
That would have been great.
Did he make the omelet up there? I don't know, Bud, but he did eat the omelet.
Probably got it, had him make it at the Niagara Falls breakfast place, then he took back to go.
Yeah, that's probably what happened.
Yeah, that's great, man. Thank you, Robert, for...
You want me to look into that?
No, you don't need to look into that, but that was just... Yeah, they probably made it for him at the Niagara Falls takeout place, and he got it to go.
What?
Just never mind, and let me finish. So, in any event, on the line with us is Jeff Dowder from Caltech. Jeff, sorry it took so long to kind of get into this, but I want to ask you a little bit about this. You're into the mechanical physics aspect of things. Have you been watching the Wallendas?
Well, I mean, one of the things I think you need to understand, Phil, on Nick Wallenda is that, number one, he is safety harness. That means that ABC, which is the sponsoring entity, they televised this event. It was a 30-minute walk across the falls. I will give Nick Wallenda credit for that on account of he took a 30-minute walk on it. But he was safety harnessed, and that means that ABC insisted that Mr. Wallenda wear this piece of safety equipment because they obviously were concerned that were he to fall in the middle of this telecast, that it would redound negatively to ABC, and that you can well imagine a man falling off a high wire, you know, in the middle of the night where people are going, yeah, let's watch, you know, because you mentioned a circus and everything. So,
well, I understand what you mean, the trauma of it.
Yeah, I mean, basically, you don't want your children sitting there while all of a sudden it's like a night at the circus, then it's turned into a horror, you know, the horror of it, where he says, or whatever. I mean, I'm not trying to make the sound of it, but...
I understand. So he's going to they don't want to have that happen. I totally understand that. I did not know that they wanted him to wear that harness, though.
Yeah, for that reason.
What about, I guess, just the basic insurance or...
I don't know if ABC was indemnified or not, if they had Mr. Willenda sign. I don't know. I will tell you this, though. As much as I really admire anyone who tests the limits of mankind's, you know, ability to, however you want to put it, you know, the way mankind, you know, tests it out and checks it out, and you know, where you're going to go and, you know, go off a cliff. I don't know how you say it.
You mean like risk taking, like thrill seeking, like.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I admire that, but I have to say that I think Nick Willenda. Agreeing to wear a safety harness, I think, was a little bit CS. And
why?
Well, I don't think it's the same as the guys that did it. Like you were talking about, the last attempt was in the 19th century, and those people did it just totally, totally in the clear. Man, they had no harness, they had no wire. So for Willenda to go, I'm going to go across. I think it's a little bit CS, you know, but. That's just strictly for me to say. I do know a little bit about it because of my experience on the Viper. And
I want to hear about this Viper because I know that you want to bring up your experience as a daredevil, I guess is what these guys are called.
Yeah, technically it's daredevil.
And you have had experience in an area of this kind of thing. We're going to talk with Jeff Dowder. We come back. We're a little bit late to our break, so let's take a break now. 877-876-7445. We're talking about Nick Willenda, who on Friday night successfully walked across Niagara Falls on a high wire. Sounds like something rather arcane, like out of the past, but we're still fascinated as a country with these guys that go over Niagara Falls and on their high wires. We'll be back to talk with Jeff Dowder about it more in just a moment here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876. With us is Jeff Dowder, professor of mechanical physics from Caltech, who's talking to us about Nick Willenda, who went across the Niagara Falls on a high wire. And we did take a couple of calls from people during the break, Jeff, who said that going across Niagara Falls on a high wire with a harness on is nowhere near as challenging as, let's say, Evel Knievel.
I'm not ready to. I don't want to comment on Evel Knievel. I was a great admirer of Evel Knievel. I think he did. I think he was really, the last. I mean, I liked him. I don't think. Yeah, he was the last of the real challenging daredevils, I think. But at the same time, on the same token, you know. It's all sort of illusion because it's never as safe as you. It's never as dangerous as you think. I will tell you, Ms. Renner, you brought up Viper, but I've got an experience that's even more, really more, way more worse than when I was on Viper, and that is that I rode in the front car, and this is a pretty. Not a lot of people have the hair to do this, but I did it as a part of. My experiencing the front edge, I think, of adrenaline rush, and we rode on the front. Or I rode on the front car of King to Ka, which is the roller coaster in New Jersey.
And now I don't know this roller coaster. I know it's ranked as one of the scariest.
Yes, it is. King to Ka is in New Jersey. I rode on it, and I rode on the front of the front car of it. And I did that, and I'm looking at my records right now because I don't know what I do a lot of these. I did the Viper drop at Hurricane Harbor. I did that last year, and the King to Ka roller coaster is fast. It also has a lot of centrifugal forces. It's in the parlance of the day, it's badass.
All right, but I mean, I understand. There's certainly roller coasters are getting scarier and scarier and faster, but I'm talking about Mr. Walenda's walk across Niagara Falls here. You can't put riding on a roller coaster in quite the same context, can you?
Well, yes, you can. I mean, if you consider that Mr. Walenda went across Niagara Falls with a safety harness on. And
so even if you went across Niagara Falls with a safety harness on, so what?
Well, because if you're going over Niagara Falls with a safety harness on and you fall off the wire and you go down and down and down and down and down, you're not really scared of what's going to happen because you know you've got a safety harness on. So, you know, you're not even going to be scared. And ABC wanted him to wear the safety harness because, as I said, Mr. Henry, if he fell off with no safety harness and you've got Americans looking at the TV tonight and children are seeing a guy who goes, yeah, you know, if you've ever seen people, a lot of people don't scream when they fall from a high height, but you don't really know. ABC can't take a chance that the man's not going to go off and go, yeah, you know, like that. Mr. Henry?
Yeah, what has this got to do with anything, the screaming? Are you saying that that's why he wore the harness?
Yeah, because ABC didn't want to put children through that. But if he has a safety harness on...
He's not going to scream.
No, because he knows he's fine. He knows, oh, I slipped, you know, and so he's just, like, sailing down, but he knows that the safety harness is on. And
so how does that make what he's doing less threatening or less of a daredevil act than you on a roller coaster?
Well, again, Mr. Henry, have you seen a picture of King to Ka? Because I'm looking at it, and I dare you to go on it, on a front car. And
I'm looking at a picture of it. It's pretty radical.
Radical? That's a 90-degree angle, man, okay? What's straight up and down? 90 degrees flat, straight up and down is like 180 or however you want to say it.
Yeah, it's like 100 straight up and down.
Yeah, okay. Are you going to tell me you're going to go on that? I don't think so. And
I'll go. What are you talking about, man? I'll go on it if it's going to, you know, I mean, I'm not going to go all the way to Jersey just to ride on a roller coaster. A lot of people do that, you know.
Well, I can tell you that I am one of those people that will go. I've gone to ride on roller coasters. I haven't been on all of them. I did do California Screamin' at Disney's Adventure. I did Space Mountain. I did the Matterhorn. And I've done those, okay? But I am on my way to do more and more and more and more. And
wait a minute. You just said to me that you've done three roller coasters that I wouldn't even put in anywhere near the class of coaster you're talking about here.
Boy, it's too bad you don't know a lot about, you know, roller coasters.
Well, I don't, but I can tell you, Mr. Doubter, unless I'm, you know, you tell me.
Well, I am telling you.
Okay, so you're telling me that Space Mountain and the Matterhorn belong in the same family of roller coasters as this King to Ka?
I'm telling you they are famous roller coasters that are scary, that people go on and go, okay, you know, I done that, now I'm moving on. I mean... I don't know what you mean.
Well, what I'm saying, if there was a bucket list of roller coasters...
That's what I'm talking about.
You're telling me that the Matterhorn and Space Mountain?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the Matterhorn barely qualifies as a roller coaster, you know?
Well, okay, Mr. Roller Coaster Man. I mean, how many have you been on? Have you been on Thunder Rail? Let's talk about a roller coaster Disney. Okay, so you don't have no respect for...
I'll say the California Screamin' comes close.
Okay, what about Thunder Railroad?
Thunder Railroad? Dude, are you crazy? That has got one big curve, and that's it.
What about... Well, you don't know what you're talking about, and what about Splash Mountain?
Hold on for a minute, okay?
No, Mr. Henry,
hold on for a minute. 877-SPLASH-MOUNTAIN? Are you got to be putting me on, man. It's like one drop, 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
What about the teacup?
Phil Hendry.
I've got audio of some of the most dangerous. I mean, I've got audio of myself and people on our staff that have ridden on these roller coasters, also going down the Viper. So the man that you're talking about, Nick Walenda, I don't know what you're trying to say, you know?
I'm saying that it's a feat of daring. You are saying because he's wearing a safety harness, it renders it not a daredevil act.
That's exactly what I'm saying. It renders it no more dangerous than going on the Mr. Toad, Mr. Toad's ride. And
Mr. Toad, T-O-A-D.
Okay, I'm sorry. The Disney ride is Mr. Toad or
Mr. Toad, the little kiddie ride?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
All right, let me get to a gentleman we have on the line here. He is from Israel. His name is Abe. Abe, were you saying that you have done a lot of different stunts, or were you in the Air Force? What was your background?
I jumped from 18,000 feet from a plane, and with a parachute that is closed, till you are 400 or 500 feet from the ground and open your parachute. Try to do that, and you see the difference. That's daredevil. If you want to be on a roller coaster of any kind, it's scary a little bit, but it's nothing. You're attached to a roller coaster that... you cannot go wrong with that. The worst thing is it may get stuck in the middle if it breaks down. But you're not going to fall down and then get crushed. Daredevil is something that you do that you have no control on it. You try to achieve your destination, but without, you depend on parachute. In some cases, butterfly wings, I don't know if you're familiar with them. That people jump on top of a mountain and fly without.
Oh yeah, I've seen those. Yeah, I've seen those. Yeah, now I want to ask you something, Abe. I want to ask you a question. What category of daredevil act is jumping out of an airplane and opening a chute at 400 feet? I mean, that chute, you must be at a really rapid rate of speed.
You're moving several miles a second.
Good Lord.
Yeah, I mean you cannot say a word. You just count in your head because you cannot really say anything that you're going to hear. So you have to count and be very accurate. 1,000.
How fast are you going?
The way you count seconds, and if you miss it by 1 second, you're done.
Jeff Dowder is with us. Jeff, you've heard what Abe has said. How do you compare riding on the front car of King Dakar to that?
Well, I mean, I would say, with all respect to this gentleman. Were you in the Air Force, sir? I mean, is that what they're teaching you in the Israeli Air Force?
I was a Navy SEAL there.
What's that?
I was a Navy SEAL over there.
Okay. If you're going several miles a second and you open your chute with 500 feet left, you're still going to be, crushed, aren't you?
No, you don't.
What?
Otherwise, I wouldn't be talking to you.
Okay. I mean, I know you're talking to me.
You have a heck of a bang on your shoulders when the parachute opens, but that's about it. Then you go down in a normal speed.
Well, have you been on King Dakar, or are you,
I've been on front of a tank that was moving about 65, 70 miles an hour without a harness or anything else.
Well, I don't know about being thrown off a tank.
Off a tank, but when you try to be on it, doing 70 miles an hour on a minefield, don't try it. I don't recommend it. Because if you fall off the tank, you're going to blown up. You get blown up.
Yeah, I know, but if you fall off a roller coaster, you're going to be...
You cannot fall off the roller coaster. You've been
off parachute.
You're tied down to the roller coaster. On a tank when you're on the outside, you're not. You better hold
well,
on,
first
hold
of all,
on tight.
Yes, sir, but I mean, you're not supposed to be sitting on the outside. What's that about, sitting on the outside of a tank?
That's
the gentleman's talking about.
That's when you're ready to jump off a tank and grab somebody. That's on special ops.
Well, okay. All right, but
they have a special
have
handle that's tied on the outside, and you hold on to your life, and when you have to jump,
well, have
jump.
You ever been on the Viper? Have you been on Viper at Hurricane
I've been
Harbor?
On many of the different
yeah.
things. I don't remember all their names. I'm not a big fan of roller coasters. They don't do anything for me.
Well, here's the thing. On Viper, it's a water slide straight down, and the water's going right up into your you-know-what. I mean, because
uh-huh.
you're wearing a bathing suit, right?
Yeah.
Have you? Okay, what? So that doesn't do it for you.
Well,
no,
why
I mean,
would this
I
guy...
I jumped in a parachute into water many times. Try to compare
no,
that
no,
to
I,
that
I...
and you see the difference. You hit the water
you're
like
not
you're
on a...
hitting concrete.
Yeah, but you're not on a parachute on Viper. You're just
no, in Viper
down.
You are in a machine that takes you down. You're not free fall.
Well, it's not really a machine. It's a slide.
Yeah, I know.
But, yeah,
but
the...
You're tied to it. You're going to get wet.
What
that's about it.
What he's saying, Jeff, is that... you know.
No, I know what he's saying. He said that he jumped out of an airplane. See, first of all, to quote Clint Eastwood, jumping out of a perfectly good airplane is not a natural act. Okay? Okay, sir?
Big deal. So Clint Eastwood said that in a movie. What else?
Wow, man. Are you telling me Clint Eastwood's full of crap?
He's an actor. You're talking about going down Viper. This man's talking about a parachute out of an airplane. Now, why would that be... anywhere near, why would your roller coaster ride?
Well, okay, let me ask this man here. What do you think about Walenda wearing a safety harness going over Niagara Falls?
Listen,
like
you,
big wild,
guts,
right?
you need guts just to climb up there, and I don't know how high that wire is above the water, but just try to be there, and you look in the water. I saw the Niagara Falls many times. I never tried to do anything on it, but just see the water going down. Just the thought that you're there, and if the wire snaps, guess what?
Well,
you're down anyway.
Yeah.
With a harness or no.
What about the? Yeah, but
wire
the guy that
wire
did it,
can snap.
What about the guy that did it eating an omelet?
Whatever, man. Did you hear what the gentleman said? He said that if you're looking down. By the way, the story is that there were 100,000 people on the Canadian side cheering him as he went across, and he went over the falls. He didn't just go across. The guys that did it, I guess, 100 years ago, didn't go. He went directly over the falls.
Yeah, but he's wearing. The guy's got a bungee cord or whatever. I just don't get it. That's my whole thing. But, I mean, you know, and I would say to the gentleman I'm talking to, Abe, you ought to try. Have you been on? Okay, let me ask you this. Did you go on Thunder Railroad?
Yes.
This
one I do remember,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay. What about it?
Listen, they're moving a little fast, you know, 30, 40 miles or whatever they move, and do some curves
yeah.
and turns. But these things
yeah.
are... All what you do is you get a rush of speed that you know your face exposed to the wind when you're moving fast, and if you're not
right.
familiar with really moving fast, like when you jump from a plane that's doing about 500 miles an hour, try to jump from a C-30. You
right.
know that's when you get a really bash in your face when you move several hundred miles an hour, and you go down and down and down, and you have to count in the head in the same time while you're jumping, while you're moving fast. If you miss it by one second, you're done.
I just don't know how you
so do. You're going to hit the ground so fast, you won't be able to do nothing. You're just
I don't
make
know
a
how
big
you do that.
Dash.
You know, a guy I know said that he saw a guy shoot not open one time, and he went over to see what happened, and all he found was the guy's pants and shoes. Like
yes,
the guy wasn't even there.
So. Depends on what height he jumped, but if he went from his height to over 10,000 feet, that guy became disintegrated. I mean, he hits the ground
just,
so fast that the body just falls
yeah.
apart.
It's just liquefied.
Yeah, not liquefied, but
you're going to find bits and pieces all over the place.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what they said. All they saw was shoes, a T-shirt, and one glove.
Good
yeah,
Lord.
That's what you're going to see, because the rest of the money is just going to fall apart. I mean, when you take a 10,000 piece of meat, go to a high-rise building and throw it down to the street, you ain't going to find a piece of meat. You're going to probably shred it.
Yeah, but you know something? Hey, Abe, you know what? If I had a piece of meat, and I had a barbecue or a high building, I think I put it on the barbecue. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's fine. Very good choice. Abe, thanks so much. That was very interesting.
Sure.
But I still...
Phil?
I still am... Yeah, the name's Phil.
Are you still taking any comments about your first guy that from wherever the guy that killed the guy that was accused of...
Yeah, no, we're past that. We're past that. But we will probably bring it up at a future date. And I do appreciate very much, Abe, you giving me the call. That gentleman was with the Navy SEALs in Israel.
Well, I mean, that's...
Well, that's what?
That's what... They don't have no... I mean, they probably have a Navy SEAL. They don't call it that.
I don't know. He was with a Navy Special Ops, Special Operations group in Israel.
And the other thing that guy said that I think he never really told me is, how do you go several hundred miles an hour?
He didn't say several hundred miles an hour.
Yeah, he did.
No, he did not.
Well, what did he say?
He said several miles an hour. All right, several miles a second.
What?
Never mind, I butchered it up. But what was your question?
My question was, excuse me, I'm sorry, Mr. Ryan, I didn't mean to do that.
You've been doing it all hour, so.
Well, I mean, if I have, I apologize.
Okay, fine. What do you want to say?
I forget.
Okay, put him on hold. All right, so this has been a big, fat waste of my life.
Right, it's pretty interesting.
I want to find out what this guy, what he means... When he says that the roller coaster, you know what I think? I think this cat's been hitting a bong tonight. That's what it sounds like to me.
Why?
Because it sounds like it. Yeah, man. That and what about Thunder Railroad? Yeah, that's badass. We'll be right back here. The world famous Phil Henry Show. Our news and information hour will be coming up next hour. And don't forget, we're online at philhenryshow.com. And don't forget to download the living hell out of all 8 episodes of our free Phil Henry podcast. We'll be right back, Phil Henry Show. Thank you very much.
Truth is our bitch.
I know. Phil Henry Show. I forgot. No, Mr. Henry. I forgot. I know what I wanted to ask.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. With me is Jeff Dowder from Caltech. We've been talking here about the exhibition there, Mr. Walenda. That is Nick Walenda, who went over Niagara Falls on Friday night, on a high wire, the first man to do that in over 100 years. As a matter of fact, he's the first guy to go over the falls themselves, I think. Maybe ever, I don't know. A lot of people have gone across the gorge there at Niagara Falls, and you were comparing his effort, you were saying it wasn't much of a very impressive effort because he had on a safety harness, and I think, there's been a lot of opinion opposing you here, Jeff, saying no, especially that man from the Israeli Navy, saying that that's quite indeed a feat.
Well, I mean, if you haven't been, okay, so he said he had been on Thunder Mountain?
Yeah, he was on Thunder Mountain. It's nothing, are you kidding?
Have you?
Yes, I've been on Thunder Mountain.
Have you ever jumped out of an airplane?
No, I have not.
Well, then how do you make the comparison,
How do you make the comparison? Have you ever jumped out of an airplane?
Mr. Henry, I already told you that I've been, no, but if you've gone down to Viper at Hurricane Harbor...
Hurricane Harbor, man. You're standing in line for the Viper?
What? What do you mean?
Are you standing in line behind some little kid in his inner tube and his bathing suit?
Okay. There's little kids in line, but I'm going to tell you something, Mr. Henry. What you do is you just go, get out of my way, kid. And what are you talking about, man?
You're standing in line at Hurricane Harbor for the Viper with little kids in their inner tubes and mothers going up the stairs. Right?
No, a lot of those are going off to the left or to the right to the teeny little one. I don't know what they call it, but it's one for the teeny tiny kids. It's the teeny kid slide, and it just goes it just goes down, and then you're like done. But it's not the drop. It's not the Viper drop. The Viper drop, man, is exactly. I mean, if you were on, if you were Nick Walenda on a high wire, okay, and you fell off with Nick Walenda on a high wire. Let's say that's what happened to you, okay? Then you go, if you go down, every time I go down a Viper, I don't, but I hear people go, help, not that, but...
Well, you know what? You sound ridiculous.
I sound ridiculous. That guy, Huh? That guy said he was pulling the cord and they shoot at 400 feet. I doubt it. I doubt it.
I think he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, well, I doubt it.
Well,
and if you fall off the if you fall off the Viper or that high wire, you're going. Have you ever heard a guy fall off like that, Mr. Henry?
No, fall off what, man? What are you talking about?
Fall off a high wire.
No, but I'm telling you.
Well, here's what it sounds like.
Hold on for a minute. I'm telling you that you're all wrong and you got your head parked way up there, man, if you're telling me that the Viper, a water slide, is the same as falling off of the high wire, okay?
If you fall off the high wire without a safety harness at the Niagara Falls, you know, at the Niagara Falls, it sounds like this. I've heard guys, I haven't heard anybody do it, but it would sound like this because you hit the wheel, you go, okay? Okay, Mr. Henry?
Okay, what?
That's what happens to the human body. Because you go, and then you hit the water, just like that.
Yeah.
God, man, what are you like? You're pretty cold-hearted, man.
No, I'm not. 877, oh boy, 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Let's go over to another phone call here. We have, we got General Shaw with us. Is he on the line? Yeah. General Galen Shaw with us, sir. How are you?
Very good evening to you, Phil. It's wonderful to be speaking with you. And I heard the young man. I also wanted to pay my compliments to the Israeli Navy SEAL. He sounded like a man that the country and the service of the Israeli Defense Force, of which I have worked and know a great people, great many people, sounds like they could be very proud of him.
Well, it's good to have you with us, sir. And yes, he was. He was an interesting guy.
Can I just hold on, try. I do want to address you, sir. What is your name?
Yes, sir. My name is Jeff Dowder.
All right, Jeff. My name is General Galen Shaw, and I have served 40 years in the United States Army. I'm retired now. And I wanted to ask you, because you're talking about the water slides, and you're talking about comparing that to a special ops soldier or a soldier that is trained in low-level deployment, or a soldier that has to jump from an aircraft at a very high elevation. You're saying that that is similar to the roller coasters you've been on. Is that correct?
Well, I mean, I'm saying, sir, that if like I said, you know, if you fall off with no cord on the Niagara Falls, you'll go, hey, whap. If you fall off with a cord, you go,
okay, all right, hold on. Phil, because I know you were losing patience, but I want to be patient with you, Jeff. What does it sound like again?
Which one?
When you fall off with a cord, with the cord attached, what does it sound like?
It probably sounds like this. Guy goes, or, you know, because he's not hitting the water.
But I can tell you that I've heard a man fall from a very high elevation hitting cement. Do you want to know what it sounds like?
I'm not trying to be disrespectful.
No, I know that you're not, but do you want to know? I heard a man fall out of an aircraft and hit a bridge. All right? And this was in Panama. Do you want to know what it sounds like?
Yeah.
It sounds like this. He goes, whap. Because what happens, Jeff, and you don't know this, the realization kicks in that you're about to become essentially liquid. And it's funny.
You tell me they laughed?
You're saying the guy laughed?
That's what I heard, yes. I heard a guy fall out of a C-130, and he dropped probably a good 1,000 feet, and I heard, ha, 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 and then the very clear and very distinctive sound of splat. Now,
boy, that must have been horrifying.
It was very horrifying, but by the same token, it was unexpected to hear him laugh like that.
Well, are you sure it was a laugh and it wasn't just maybe the air current or something?
Well, it sounded like it. It was the very distinctive, splat. Now, Jeff, are you still with me?
Yes, General.
If you've ever seen a Laurel and Hardy movie, they have achieved something that I've never heard achieved since. Oliver Hardy will fall out of something and it will sound like this. Like they've spliced together a bunch of sounds.
Well, maybe they have.
I'm sorry?
Maybe that's what they do. That's a movie.
Maybe they've spliced the guy. I don't understand. Well, what Mr. Henry's saying is, talking to Mr. Henry, not you. Yes?
You're talking about the Laurel and Hardy movies?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, that's Oliver Hardy going, and yeah, it's old movies. They probably didn't have much in the way of a sophisticated editing process. Maybe they needed more of his comic yelling, and so they just spliced a lot of it in there.
Let me tell both of you something. I've been sitting patiently listening to this conversation, and I put quotes around it, as a former member of the United States military. And in all of my days, in combat, in peacetime, I never, ever felt the way I felt tonight listening to the two of you. I regret very much that I didn't go into the Air Force and serve our country as a member of the United States Air Force as an airman. Because had I would know exactly how to deploy a load of napalm right over your studio.
Okay,
God!
That's that guy. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show News and Information Hour. Wow. All right,
I want to be super hang up on me.
Yes, I did.
Then why am I still on the air?
I don't know.
Huh. Interesting.
Yes, it is.
I gotta go now.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, a radio show that's done by real radio people, broadcasters, entertainers, et al. Welcome to the program, and you can join us online at philhenryshow.com. With a backstage pass, you can watch our show, the only radio show that's really worth looking at. We have a live video cast of our show each and every night. And we also have our podcast, which episode 10 went up on Thursday. Great one, featuring our next guest. Bobby Dooley is featured in our podcast this week, episode 10. So check it out. Just hit the podcast banner there on our homepage at philhenryshow.com and head over and download all of them. Collect all of them, like the box tops and you know, other silly things that we did do and don't anymore. Sure. Anyway, welcome to the program. And I want to also acknowledge last evening attending a marvelous party, Allison Reynolds' birthday party. She's a great photographer, and her husband, Joel Berliner, were great hosts at their home last night. And we were I saw Michael Reagan for the first time in a couple of years. I hadn't seen Michael since our days over at Clear Channel. So it was nice to see Michael, and great to hear that he's doing so well. This evening, we're going to talk about this bus monitor story. You know the story. This is a woman who was a monitor on a bus in a school district in upstate New York. And a bus monitor, you know, for want of a better description, is somebody that just monitors activity to make sure the kids are not getting out of hand. Well, as you probably have noticed, you know, these days, well, not even these days, but throughout history, folks, believe it or not, children, some have just been flat rude and disrespectful, and they have no manners. They're raised by people like that. So why would they're raised by people who believe that their children, just the sun just rises and sets on their little princes and princesses. So this lady was taunted. She was called names. A video capturing this was put on YouTube. And I'll bet you anything, whoever actually took the video of this woman being taunted and being brutalized, you know, emotionally, if not physically, I think they were actually, you know, shaking the flab on her arms and doing all kinds of things that I'm sure was very, very funny for anybody with a mind of an 11-year-old. Unfortunately, when you're an adult, especially one that perhaps is not as confrontational as some others, you're going to sit there and take this, and it'll probably be very emotional. This was a video that was posted on YouTube. It was posted on Facebook. The person who took the video, I'm not sure who they are, but I don't have any doubt in my mind that they probably thought it was funny when they first did it, and now maybe taking credit for, look what I exposed, you know. Not that, the other thing. Anyway, the lady's name, Karen Klein of Rochester, has been the recipient of a $500,000 in online donations. $500,000 this week, coming in from people who believe that this lady's entitled to a vacation. Mr. Max, I believe his name is Sidorov of Toronto, Canada, started to raise this money online for a vacation. He posted the following statement. Let's give Karen a vacation of a lifetime. Let's show her the power of the internet and how kind and generous people can be. Karen, you have no idea what's coming. 500 grand is what she was what she's been the recipient of. She's been a widow for 17 years. She told reporters that she's deeply touched and overwhelmed by the outpouring of support. She told police she didn't want criminal charges pursued against the boys who are 12 and 13, but that she hoped they would not be allowed to ride the bus for at least a year. One boy said, I really feel bad about what I did. The boy called Wesley continued, I wish I'd never done those things. If that happened to someone in my family, like my mother or grandmother, I'd be really mad at the people who did that. Well, now you know, young man, people are really mad at you. See? You'd be really mad? You're like, you're the last guy getting the news on that one, whatever your name is, Wesley. By the way, Wesley, not for nothing, man, because, you know, things change. But when I was a kid, any boy with the name Wesley would be the subject of the taunting that you just gave that lady. Not because, you know, we were necessarily crueler in those days than kids are today. Just the name Wesley used to be a name that only dorks had. So somehow that's probably changed. And that's good for you, Wesley.
Uh-huh.
Okay, bud.
Yeah, bud. What are you saying, bud?
You're Robert. Oh, Robert. Robert.
All right, all right. Ease it back. I want to get Bobby Dooley on the line here from the Western Estates Parent Teacher Organization to discuss this particular topic. This is right up the PTO alley, if you'll pardon the expression. I don't mean to. In any event, Bobby, how are you tonight?
I'm fine, Phil. I don't know up the alley if that's a bad expression or not, but I think you're right. It is right up our alley.
Well, okay. I mean, what I was basically saying is that this is something you must deal with.
Well, we don't really deal with this kind of behavior. I mean, our kids come from a community that has a fair amount of resource. So the kids that are raised here at Western Estates already are raised in an environment of some privilege. And so that's naturally going to carry over into their behavior when they're getting on a school bus and they're interacting with people who may not have the same kinds of jobs that their father or their mother has. For instance, if your father's a surgeon or if your father's a banker or if your father owns a business and then you get on a school bus and you're dealing with someone who is a bus driver or you're dealing with a woman that is a widow and earns, I don't know, minimum wage or whatever they pay those people to sit on a bus and try to present the image of someone that's going to be able to control a situation there. I don't know, really. It's a new experience for kids. And so, like any child looking at something new, what do children do, Phil, and what did you do when you were a boy, when you encountered a spider or an anthill or when you encountered a strange-looking bug?
When I encountered a strange-looking bug.
Well, you took a stick and you moved it around?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You know, the anthills, we'd step on them and watch the ants scurry.
Exactly. Well, that's all these kids, some of these kids are doing. They are encountering something new.
The lady, the bus monitor, it's hardly a good comparison to call her a bug.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying she is like something new to these children that have never seen this before. Their fathers and mothers have jobs whereby they're the boss, or they're certainly not sitting on a bus. And I'm not putting down bus drivers.
You're talking about a certain kind of entitled kid. I don't know that these kids were entitled.
No, but you were asking about our children. These kids, they may not be. I don't know. I will tell you, though, Phil, that The boy apologized, and I believe there is an apology coming, a forthcoming from the other child. So the need for her to go through this sort of charade, I think, is a little much.
What charade are you talking about?
Well, I don't know if charade's the right word, but I heard you say she's gotten $500,000.
Yeah, there were people who were so outraged by what happened to this lady that they decided to donate money to her.
Well, but for what? I'm not really... See, that's the thing that Steve and I brought this up at our PTO meeting, and I wanted to mention to you. Steve, you have it, right?
Yeah, we got the resolution.
We passed a resolution tonight at our PTO meeting that Steve has. If you want to read a couple of lines there, Steve.
Yeah, the so resolved that we would recommend that Karen Klein return the money so that a pattern is not set here where people, you know, expect to get money.
But here, let me... The resolution, Phil, states as follows. Be it so resolved for the Western States Parent Teacher Organization that Karen Klein of Rochester, New York, return the money that was so generously donated to her, as there is no need, given the apology of at least one of the young men involved, and most likely the apology forthcoming from a second young man. What was endured, and we put that in quotes by Ms. Klein, certainly does not warrant anywhere near the kind of windfall that she received. I think it sets a dangerous precedent. And
well, let's take a look at this, though, Ms. Dooley, if we could. This lady was harassed and harangued and insulted and verbally abused and was physically manhandled by these two boys who had... there was no evidence whatsoever that these boys have learned any kind of social skill or manners that are appropriate for their ages of 12 or 13. There are some adults that would have hauled off and smacked their faces. There are there's all kinds of responses that might have been forthcoming. They're probably lucky that this woman was a controlled individual and didn't physically assault them.
But she's lucky she didn't do that either, because there would have been a lawsuit.
Well, there may have been a lawsuit. There may have been a lawsuit on the against the parents of these boys. You know.
Well, but for what? I these are boys that are being boys.
Well, boys can be boys, and that has been used as an excuse, I think, over time, hasn't it?
No, I don't think, Phil. First of all, this woman was a bus monitor. Again, this is an unusual job for an adult to have, and it is an unusual job to... it's also an unusual position, I think, to ask adults to be ask children to be respectful of. So when these boys saw a woman sitting in the back of the bus, sort of doing nothing, it's going to prompt some reaction from them. Now,
but is this the kind of reaction that you should come to expect?
I don't think it's a reaction that warrants $500,000, and I know that even Karen's got to agree with that. We're just simply asking her to do the right thing, return the money. There's an awful lot of us out here that certainly we're not aware of the fact that if you're a bus monitor, that you stand to make $500,000 doing that. If I knew that, if a lot of your listeners knew that, we would probably be taking that job. And the other thing, Phil, I really want to say is I know that your listeners agree with me when I say that if that happened to me, I would not have accepted that money, and I certainly would not have raised a hand to those boys. I would have been able to deal with it in such a way as within a few seconds those boys would have gone back to their seats, and they would have been duly chastised.
Well, I'd like to find out what you would have done, you know.
Well, I'd be happy to.
Yeah, I'd really like to find out what you would have done that would have duly chastised those boys and sent them back to their seats. And it wouldn't have developed into the situation that did develop into, and there wouldn't have been a need of $500,000. You're saying you'd have nipped all of this in the bud.
Well, if I'd known that $500,000 was going to come my way, I probably would have done what Karen did, which is to sort of just sit there and let it happen. And I don't know whether she knew that this money was forthcoming. There's every reason to believe that she knew that it was being videotaped.
Why is there every reason to believe?
I don't think you hide that, Bill, very well.
All right, we're going to take a break. Thanks, Dan. We have to take a break. We'll be right back here. 877-876-PHIL. Should Karen Klein give the money back that she has been awarded, that she has been given, that she has been, you could just say that she's been the well-deserved recipient of $500,000 because people felt bad for this woman taking this abuse. Bobby Dooley believes that the money should be given back and that this situation could have been dealt with and controlled a lot easier and a lot more readily. 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
What's wrong, bud?
Oh, people are spit it out.
Well, your job is to screen the phones, and you know what, bud? People call up, and it's the first time they've called a talk show, maybe, and they don't exactly know what the proceedings are and the procedure is, so don't be impatient with them.
Just damn it, spit it out.
They're going to spit it out. You just got to ask them what their comment is. On the line with me is Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association, as we talk about, also the PTO there, as we talk about Karen Klein of upstate New York. Rochester, New York is where she lives. So I'm assuming that this school district is in that area, and she was the recipient of this harassment. She's gotten $500,000. You think the money should be given back. Why?
Well, Phil, I think the money should be given back because... I think the point was made. She put a scare into everyone. Obviously, it's nothing that is deserving of $500,000. I don't know if that was the original intent of the people that raised it. I think maybe they just wanted to say that they felt sorry for her. I think she should be very honest with people and say, I could have probably dealt with that situation a lot better than I did.
Let me ask you something, Bobby. You said that you would have, absolutely shut this thing down within a few seconds.
Yes.
What would you have done?
What would I have done?
What would you have done if these boys came up to you?
Well, that's the point, Phil. These boys are not going to come up to a woman such as myself because I am, first of all, I don't want to talk this way about myself. I'm what a lot of young men call a MILF. Okay.
I'm sorry, what is that?
A MILF.
Yeah, a MILF.
Oh, a MILF. A MILF, okay.
Yeah. So kids are going to be, and they tend to be a little nervous around me. They want to impress me. I think what Karen could have done is something that should have been done before she got on that bus. Make herself the object of respect. When you get on a bus and you're wearing your sneakers and you're wearing your Walmart slacks and your thin windbreaker... and your hair is cut short, and this and that, you're really just sort of saying, go ahead and treat me like, what did you say, Steve?
The Elephant Man.
Yeah, treat me like the Elephant Man.
The Elephant Man?
Because I'm a little bit of a freak.
Yeah, when you're wearing that kind of, when you're presenting yourself that way.
All right, so in other words, Karen Klein presented herself in a freakish way. I don't even know what the woman looked like. Do you?
Well, I'm imagining, if she's a bus monitor, she's got on that kind of unisex dress with the short cropped hair and so forth that's going to prompt young boys into that stick-poking mode. And
because you're saying you would have dressed as a MILF or you are a MILF or you're more sexy, etc., the kids are not going to...
They're not going to react to me that way, no. That's why...
That's why my wife...
I'll do it, Steve. That's why I would have shut that off early.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number. Let's go to a phone call. We have Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western States Parent Teacher Organization on the Karen Klein situation there in upstate New York. Here is Scott. Scott, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Listener. I think your guest is entirely out of touch with reality. and entirely judgmental. And I think Karen absolutely deserves that money. It was raised in her name and presented to her as a gift. She didn't ask for it. And I'm sorry, but if she would have taken any course of action towards those students, their parents would be on her and sued, and it would have been a horrible situation. She couldn't have done anything. That's how bad. That's how bad these kids are, and you don't get that.
Well, I don't know why she let it start.
Well, you're saying that had she not been in some kind of a unisex bus monitor uniform, I don't know how she was dressed. Okay.
Well, I'm just saying, I would have been on that bus looking a little bit more, I guess, appealing to those boys.
Appealing for what?
So that they give you a wide berth.
13-year-old
so
boys?
No, not in the way that you're inferring. But if you remember being 13 and you saw
she was doing her job, and if she would have taken any course of action other than what she took, she would have been subject to all kinds of scrutiny by those boys' parents.
Yeah, the boy's parents. Now, I suppose it could be argued that she could turn around and claim, well, you know, I'm sorry I had to take that action, but look at how your boys were behaving. But I don't think any of that addresses what you're saying, Bobby, which I think is, I agree with this gentleman, it's a little otherworldly.
What is otherworldly? I just said to both of you guys, you both remember being 13 years of age. You both remember the hot mother of your friend. There must have been one of your friends that had the really hot mother. Okay?
No, when I was 13, I was... Told to respect my elders, and if something like that, if I would have been part of that, I would have been grounded for the summer.
Well, you wouldn't have been part of that had you been dealing with a woman who was, you know, hot, who was a milk.
I think you're so lost and wrapped up in yourself.
That's off the charts for a 13-year-old. Exactly.
Boys,
I got to take a break here. Thank you, Scott. Very good call. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Bobby and Steve Dooley on Karen Klein in upstate New York. Should she give that money back? Was it much ado about nothing? That's what the Dooleys are saying. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. Right back.
Phil Hendry.
On the world famous Phil Hendry Show, and they're from the PTO. They're in Western Estates, and this situation in upstate New York, in the Rochester area, the school district is called, I believe, Greece.
That's interesting, Phil, because we have some neighbors who are from they're from California, but their parents are from upstate New York, and they have what do they have, Steve?
Oh, they got Rome and another Poland.
I think that's fascinating. They have a town called Poland. And I said to Steve, is that embarrassing coming from Poland? And
well, you know, that's interesting, but let's talk about, this is a serious thing.
I understand that, Phil. I just thought it was very cute.
They got a lot of very interesting towns in upstate New York. But this is about these kids. I want to get back to this thing, the comment that you made, and we have a lady who's a bus monitor we're going to talk to here. That the bus monitors wear a unisex kind of uniform, which is going to invite harassment. You even use the term elephant man.
Hold on, Steve. Let me do it. No, not like the elephant man as a freak in a zoo or as that very unfortunate man was treated. But when you're a bus monitor to a 13-year-old boy, you are the closest thing to the elephant man that he's going to experience. What do I mean by that? I mean that...
Well, isn't that our job to teach these kids that they're not this isn't the elephant man, and you don't treat the elephant man that way anyway if you were to encounter him. You treat people with respect, and people with an authoritative position, you give all due... you give a wide berth to, and you give all due consideration there.
Well, those are a lot of fancy words, Phil, and we're talking about 13-year-old boys. And what I simply said to you was, do I come on the bus and make all of these big brand explanations Or do I just come on the bus looking like your best friend's hot mom, and the kids are, oh, Mrs. Dooley, you know, and, you know, how long do you bake a cake for, and, oh, I want to talk to you. And I think that's where you can at least use a little bit, I think, of the, of, you know, your wiles and your strength as a mother.
As a mother or as a woman?
She's my wife, Miss Brandy. I don't want to see no kid get out of hand.
No, the boy, you don't let the boys get out of line because I'm married.
All right, 877-876-7445. We'll go over here to Sylvia is on the line. And Sylvia, you were a bus monitor, correct?
Yes. I was a bus monitor for 12 years.
Uh-huh.
And I, what this lady is talking
uh-huh.
about, it
uh-huh.
doesn't even make sense.
Uh-huh.
First of all, this is a job. This is
uh-huh.
a job that you're coming in and you are monitoring how the children are supposed to conduct themselves on a bus because the bus driver has to focus on what he or she is doing. It has nothing to do with what your dress is about. We have gotten out where snow was knee deep. We don't. You can't dress in a different type manner. You dress for the conditions of the job. As long as you are neat and clean and keep yourself clean, then that's what.
But you could wear a cute snowsuit. Couldn't you wear a cute snowsuit? Or you could wear a cute snowsuit. Is what I was going to say.
If that called for that, but one thing doesn't have anything to do with the other. As far as I'm concerned, what I have on does not merit a child to be disrespectful for to me. In the first place,
Mr. Dooley, hold on for just a second. I'm sorry, Sylvia. Steve, you're sort of jumping in.
I'll handle it, Steve. My husband wanted to know, though, if you wear that kind of a unisex haircut, and I'll tell you why. That tends to make the boys think that they're, you know, you're kind of freaky, you know?
Wait a minute. What's that got to do with what I have on that I'm wearing is that for them to have respect. If they're not having respect for me, they're not giving it at home. They're treating their parents the same way they're treating me,
right?
Because if they don't have any manners, the same person. If you sit at a table and don't know how to eat at a table, when you go out, you're not going to know how to eat when you go out if you don't know how to do it at home.
I didn't follow that. What did she say?
I'm saying, plain and simple, they're not being trained at home. They're not being trained at home. It doesn't, and whether they're 13 or whether they're 10 or whatever, they should start when they're young, telling how you're supposed to respect the grown-ups, how you're supposed to respect authority. Because you know what? If they're not taught, they're going to go out here. Something's going to happen to them because they're not. If they can't have any kind of respect and respect authority on a bus, what are they going to do with a cop? Are they going to be disrespectful to a police that can take them and put them in jail or either manhandle them?
The police officer is going to be more attractive,
Let me ask this question, Sylvia. Sylvia, do you think that Karen Klein should give this money back?
No. That was a blessing.
I think there should have been some kind of indication that you're lacking something.
She didn't ask for that money.
Wouldn't you take that kind of abuse if you knew $500,000 was on the other end of it? Thank you.
Wait a minute.
Who knows? Who knew that was going to happen?
Exactly.
Who knew that? Who knew that that was going to happen? Oh, did they say, oh, well, if you, you know, if you, it was like you're trying to say it was a setup or something.
They, if you knew there was $500,000 on the other end of that,
come on,
you'd let those boys slap you across the face.
No, no, nobody knew.
You act like you're jealous because the lady got a blessing.
Well, you act like you're some Jedi Knight that can deal with...
No, you're the one that's acting like the Jedi Knight, Ms. Dooley. You're saying if you dress like a MILF, there won't be a problem here. Then you're also saying, of course, had you known there was going to be $500,000 on the other end of that, you would have let them slap you across the face.
Oh, no.
I don't think... Well, you know full well, Sylvia, you'd let them do that, too. If you knew there was going to be a half million.
No, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't. I would not let them do that to me.
Oh, my God.
I would not, for no amount of money, that is a half a million for a little tap.
Well, look, let me ask you
because,
this.
Because you know
you know, nobody knows.
I'd
let them pull my skirt up for half a million.
That, to me, money is ruling the roost. I got to take a break. Sylvia, I got to go to another caller. Yeah, very good call, and thank you for giving us the expertise that you have in this topic. What did I just hear you say?
I said, Phil, I think a lot of women, and probably, and I'm half joking, but a lot of women would go ahead and let those boys pull their skirt up and go ahead and get a look if that's what, if a half a million's waiting on the other end of it. And
so, in other words, it's all about money, and these kids become a rabble, and they're taught nothing but to become slobs and animals, and the adults that are charged with teaching them, or at least training them, or at least supervising them, these adults are just demonstrating anything for a dollar. They're allowing themselves to be manhandled, their skirt to be pulled up.
Well, Mr. Henry, in this economic time...
Thank you very much, Steve. In fact, I even
pulled your microphone
up a second there, Phil. I got so excited. In these economic times, are you going to say no to a half a million?
I'm not going to turn my wife into a whore.
How dare you?
Is that what you're saying to me?
I'm not saying that to you. I'm just saying there are certain things I draw the line at. I'm not going to say to my wife, go ahead, honey, get on that bus and let those kids pull your skirt up for a half a mil.
You really, you know, you really think you know, Mr. Henry. You walk a mile in a man's shoes, Mr. Henry, before you walk a mile in his shoes.
Yeah, because...
Walk a mile in a man's shoes before I walk a mile in a man's shoes.
You know what I'm saying. Walk a mile in my shoes. Remember the song. And that was a great song. It taught us so much.
Okay, 8778. Yeah, walk a mile in somebody's shoes. Walk a mile in that lady's shoes, the lady who was grabbed and treated with such disrespect for those boys. Here's Brian on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, Phil. All right. So the deal with Karen is she grew up in a generation to where... If somebody were to lay hands on her, then she would have every right to hit them back. Mm-hmm. Now we're in a day and age to where we're in a Sue Happy Nation. So obviously that's frowned upon. So those kids are very, very lucky that they didn't get slapped against the wall. Because I grew up with my grandparents from that generation. And
well, wait, you didn't grow up in the same generation,
out,
though.
Whenever I acted out, I got a belt. And even
but,
from my mother, from the generation after that, I got slapped around.
You're not from that generation.
Out. These kids are very lucky, and obviously they're very spoiled and treated as if they're put on a pedestal and they can do whatever they want. That's how kids these days are. They think they can get away with whatever they want. Because they know that everyone is willing to call the police and press charges because this nation's turning into a revenue-based nation where everyone has to go to jail for the littlest thing. So nobody wants to hit these little kids back for acting out. And yes, I think that Karen
What about my wife said about kids, you know, poking an anthill?
What? What did you say?
My husband asked, what about what I said about... A 13-year-old boy wants to poke an anthill to see what it is. And when you've got a bus monitor with the short hair and, you know...
Okay, it's nothing about looks, especially because of the fact that she's an older woman. We're not going to sit there and look for the hottest woman on earth to be sitting on the bus when I'm 13 years old. Because I already know at 13 years old that I can't mess around with you know, what did you say? You're 31? Okay, I can't
sit
there and mess around with. You're 35, okay. I couldn't mess around with a 35-year-old when I'm 13 because of the fact that you would be the one to get thrown in prison for indecency with a child.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying, come on the bus looking very smart and very attractive, and the boys will want to talk to you respectfully. Same way you want to open the door for a lady.
That's not what the public school system
is about, yeah.
To these children.
And you also said you'd go ahead and take a half a million and let the guy pull your skirt up.
What?
You said that for a half a million you'd let those boys pull your skirt up.
Yeah.
I didn't say that guy.
Okay.
You said what guy? What, the bus driver?
No, the kids.
Well, what harm is it going to do? And again, I would ask this gentleman that I'm speaking with, is your name Gus? Did you say?
Okay.
This is Gus.
No, it's Brian.
Brian, I would say this. I would say that, you know, wouldn't you allow your wife, well, I guess you wouldn't, if there was a half a million on the other end?
No, he wouldn't. He obviously said that he wouldn't.
It's not like, it's not like she knew by getting on that bus that these kids were going to sit there and mess with her. Yeah, she probably knew that they were recording her because they're holding a camera phone up. But being surrounded by a bunch of kids when she's a small, elderly, helpless woman, that no one's going to be there to stick up for her. Apparently, hold on a second.
Right.
No one in the video sat there and stuck up for her. So she's helpless at that point.
Right.
It's not like she went to the grocery store and spent a dollar on a lottery ticket hoping to win a half million. People felt sorry for what happened after seeing her, and people felt that she needed a vacation, and it started out as a little enough, but everyone that saw it felt that she deserved a little bit from them, which ended up racking up coincidentally to about a half million. She didn't know that was going to happen. There's no way anybody
really
know that was going to happen.
The minute she got out of bed and combed her hair into that car wash hairdo, and you know what I mean by that.
She's not working in an office.
No, she's not working in a car wash. All right, we got to take a break. Thank you very much, sir, for your call. That's Brian. Appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. We're going to be back with more of your phone calls here as we talk about Karen Klein, the bus monitor who was so abused and manhandled on a videotape that everyone saw. She's been the recipient of $500,000 to take a nice vacation. Well, you can take a whole bunch of vacations and put a nice down payment on a house with that kind of money. We'll be back with more from Bobby and Steve Dooley, who believe that she should give the money back because she manipulated the situation into something worse. I don't know how they're coming to that conclusion. We'll continue to pursue that. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil and online at philhenryshow.com. It's philhenryshow.com. If you want to get a backstage pass and watch our show as well as listen to it, you can. Every night we have a video cast here from our studios on the El Pacifico, out here on the furthest western point of the continental United States. And that don't mean we're better than anybody else. We just kind of, we got a head start on everybody else in case we all have to just, you know, ditch it in the ocean, man. We're talking to Bobby and Steve Dooley, and we're discussing tonight the lady, the bus monitor in upstate New York, who was so disrespected and manhandled and verbally abused by a couple of punks, ages 13 and 12. It was captured on video by, no doubt, another smart-ass kid that thought everybody was just going to laugh uproariously at their video when they put it on YouTube or Facebook or the Dumbass Network or whatever. And it turns out the opposite happened, and probably that person's taking credit for that.
You know, Phil, I think that's really unfair. I think the child that put that on YouTube should be congratulated, if that's what you want. I think the lady really took advantage of the situation and made off with a nice windfall, you know?
Yeah, Phil, we well enough alone.
Yeah, really, she ought to quit while she's ahead.
Like everybody's been saying, wherever you're getting this idea that the woman was manipulating the system somehow, but now you're saying that the people that put that video on YouTube should be congratulated.
Well, I mean, if you think that this $500,000 is something that she's entitled to keep, then I think you have to say that the young person, not the punk, but the young person, maybe a misguided young person. You know, we are so ready to demonize and criminalize our children. When Seth and Dylan, both of my oldest boys, were brought back to the house one day, Phil, not too long ago, about 2 years ago, and the L.A. County Sheriff had them, and of course I was scared to death. What had happened? What had they done? What had been done to them? And when the sheriff said to me that they had been caught spray painting some slogans or something.
Yeah, you told me they were caught spray painting on a synagogue.
When the sheriff, let me finish, Phil.
Yeah, let my wife finish, Mr. Allen.
When the boys were caught, they'd been spray painting some slogans. Yes, on a synagogue. My first thought was, thank God they're all right. I thought they were injured. I thought something had been done to them.
Well, you saw those boys being brought to the front door by the L.A. County Sheriff. Did they look like they were injured?
They could have been raped.
They could have been raped. We don't know.
And they could have been raped. But instead, they were brought, you found out they'd been spray painting swastikas on a synagogue.
They had been acting out because Steve and I had gotten into an argument, and they saw their father throw a some kind of, I don't know what it was, Steve.
Salad tongs
at me. And they acted out.
They acted out because they were scared their father was going to hurt their mother, so they spray painted swastikas on synagogues. Made sense to me.
Mr. Hendry.
No, we got to move on here. I got to get to at least a call here before we end the segment. On the line here we have, let's see, we'll go to Andy. Andy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Hi, I missed the first bit of it.
Hi.
And I was wondering, what do Bobby and Steve do for a living?
Mm-hmm. I'm a housewife, and my husband...
I got a landscaping business.
Oh, I'm sorry?
He has a land... What is it, Steve? A landscaping business?
Yeah.
He's a landscaping... Okay. Has a landscaping business.
Okay,
and I'm a house... And I'm a, and, excuse me, I'm a housewife.
Oh, that's what I do, too. Well, when you do then you can't hear what I'm saying.
I'm sorry?
She says when you're going you can't hear her.
You can't hear her, basically... Every person
well,
that's been on, you've said, that does not let the person's talk.
I'm hearing what you're saying. I don't...
But the people on the radio...
Well, now we're... All right, hold on. We're going to go to the next hour with this. So, Andy, why don't you hang on the line, all right? A lot of people want to weigh in on this. 877-876-PHIL.
What was that about?
When you're going, it blocks out what the person's saying.
No,
that doesn't make sense, because I can understand what they're saying.
All right, hold on for a minute. 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show here. We'll be back with more on the Karen Klein story in upstate New York. More of your phone calls, more from Bobby and Steve Dooley. We'll also hear from attorney Harvey Wireman on this topic. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Shores, El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back into the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Bobby and Steve Dooley have joined us for a second hour. Harvey Wireman, an attorney at law, is going to be on in a moment. We're talking about the lady in the bus monitor in the Rochester, New York area in the Greece School District, Greece Central School District. She drove a bus for the Greece Central School District for 20 years before taking her current job 3 years ago, which is as a monitor on a bus. And excuse me, she used to work for the Greece Central School District. I don't know. This is a school district in the Rochester area. A student captured the encounter on his cell phone. He posted it on his Facebook page. On Tuesday, it was posted on YouTube. It was titled Making the Bus Monitor Cry. It must have been it's a mindset that I don't think is necessarily unique to this generation, because the kids have been rude to adults and to teachers for a long time. But the YouTube generation and the viral nature of how these encounters can become international news is quite unusual. And, you know, and I think Bobby and Steve, that in a lot of ways it's a good thing, because parents all over the world, kids all over the world are seeing this behavior, and they're looking at how people react to it. They're saying, you know, this is pretty trash can behavior. This is disgusting, and it doesn't make you famous. It doesn't make you popular.
Well, Phil, it also holds these boys up to a level of ridicule that I think, yes, they deserve it. But Karen Klein, this lady, who is the recipient of $500,000, and at some point you have to go to her and say, what's right is right.
Yeah, what's right is right, Mr. Renner. Don't mean to interrupt, but...
No, go ahead, Steve.
Mr. Renner, I'm just going to say to Steve Dooley, and, you know, okay, we all had our fun, and, you know, boys and everything, and the lady took some heat. You know, I don't know what her hair's cut like. What, did anybody get a...
Do we know what the haircut is?
I don't know why you got this thing on the haircut.
Definitely the unisex. Boys are boys and everything. But, I mean, $500,000, at some point we got to stop the madness.
That was the line. Do you remember Susan Powder, Phil?
Yeah, I remember Susan Powder. She had the whatever the hell that was. It was like a diet program or something like that.
Yeah, she was a motivational speaker, and she used to say, stop the madness. Stop the madness. That's what she said. And the madness is a woman getting $500,000 after coming onto a bus, possibly with a unisex haircut, possibly not, possibly with the thin Elks Lodge windbreaker, possibly not, possibly with those Walmart unisex slacks, possibly not, and possibly with the petroleum-based shoes that baseball umpires wear, possibly not. In other words, Phil...
In other words, she looks like a lesbian?
Oh, I didn't say that.
No, I did not say that.
Well, that's what you're saying she looked like, and therefore was provoking a response from 13-year-old boys, because that's what boys do. They take a stick and they poke at anthills. And this conversation, you have denigrated this woman to the level of some kind of a oddity, a freakish oddity, and the boys are just the innocent bystanders to this parade of life's freaks. Yeah. Let's go back to Andy, who is hanging on through the last hour. Andy, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Andy, so you've been listening to what we've been saying.
No, I really resent what you just said.
What I said about the freaks?
That these boys are... You're making it sound like the boys are guilty.
Of course they're guilty.
Yes, they're guilty.
Well, but they're 13. My goodness. 13-year-old
boy. I didn't hear that.
Mm-hmm. I said they're 13. 12 and
yeah,
13.
Yeah, and then they're going to be 20 and still doing it to people who don't look like everybody else. Maybe this lady, you know what? I found it out just now.
Mm-hmm.
No, they can. She can take the $500,000 and look like you want her to. So basically, give her the money, and then she can get all the updates and the clothes and be a MILF, which is, I find, very offensive. And
oh,
then she'll be free.
Sarcastic. You're being sarcastic, and I don't think that's what we need. I think we need clarity.
No. You're being sarcastic too when you have an Elk Lodge jacket. That's judgmental.
Okay, I'm sorry. But what I was trying to say is, when you get on a bus and you're dressed like the lady that you know, the lady and I know, the lady that umpires our softball games, and then ask if, do you have a ride home? You know that lady.
She's working for her money.
Oh, please.
She's working for her money.
Right.
That's what
right.
she wears. She can't wear high spike heels and a big old thing on the field. You know, she can't. That's not practical.
What do you mean a big old thing on the field? What is that?
Are you talking about breasts?
Are you talking about enhanced breasts? What is that?
Big.
I don't.
You said big old thing, Andy. I think they were having a hard time with that. Let's not get bogged down with that. I think you're making some good points.
Well, I just think that as a teacher, that is shallow. It is the most shallow thing that I could do to anyone, to judge a student. If someone judged your child like you're judging this lady, you would really stand up for your kid.
They are judging the children. That's what you, yeah, see, Steve?
Yeah, we got you. They are judging the children.
Oh, we got you. You just sounded like a child right there, Mr. Dooley.
Well, I'm sorry.
Well, Phil, isn't that what we're doing, judging these boys?
We are judging these boys correctly. We're not even judging them. We're saying your behavior was wrong. You have to now apologize and do not repeat that behavior. It just so happens it went around the world as an international piece of news. Oh, well, that's how it is in the YouTube age. But the fact is, it's still a parent. It's a parent-child issue. It's a teacher-child issue. It's an issue having to do with bringing up a generation of kids so they don't act like animals. You know, if we don't do it, man, we keep talking about how children act so irresponsibly. We better start kicking a little bit of ass. And I just heard, and I don't know if you know this, Andy, did you know that these boys threatened this woman with a knife? They threatened to cut.
As a teacher.
I don't believe that.
They said, I got a knife, I'm going to cut you. At that point, if I was that woman, I would have restrained that kid and frisked him for the weapon and called the cops.
But then you'd
have
gotten
in
trouble, buddy. You'd have gotten in trouble.
No, I wouldn't. No, not after he threatened me. No, I wouldn't. Not after he threatened me, I wouldn't. I guarantee I'd take it to the Supreme Court.
He would say he didn't do it, Phil. He would say he didn't do it. And then...
It was on the videotape, so it was clear as day on the tape. So he's stuck six ways to sunset, and nobody on earth should sit still for a threat like that. No one, and the cops will tell you that. And
I can tell you, Phil, that if you tried to frisk my son, I would accuse you of trying to touch him.
You'd be Jerry Sandusky, Phil. You would.
Hey, Mr. Dooley, if you say ha ha. You say ha-ha to me one more time, I'm going to hang up on you.
Well.
And I don't think it's ha-ha. All right, Andy, thank you so much for your call. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We'll go over to Gary now. Hi, Gary. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley talking about the Karen Klein case.
Thanks for taking my call. First of all, your guest there is wrong. She has not accepted this money.
Uh-huh.
She has not accepted this money. It was started by a gentleman in Toronto who has it in a trust fund, and all she has to do is contact him if she wants the money. So she has not taken the money. So wherever you're getting your information...
Well, then that means she probably won't get it either, because I don't... Do you really think that man's going to give it to her?
It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference. You're saying straight out to everybody across the country that she's given $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I grew up not far from this community, and it's a very well-to-do community.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, these boys are dead wrong. Do you remember the case last year where the boy in the Western New York area committed suicide because of bullying?
I know that a boy committed suicide after he bullied someone.
He committed what?
Yeah, kid.
No, he was bullied.
He bullied a kid, and then he committed suicide because his work on the planet was done. It was really bizarre.
What are you talking about? His work on the planet was done.
That's what we heard.
No,
that the kid bullied.
Phil,
I got to tell you, I have to just say one thing, Gary. I reject the idea that children commit suicide because of bullying. I do not accept that. I admit there's bullying, and I admit it's wrong, and it's bad. But I believe there's something fundamentally deeper with children that take their own lives than just being bullied. Because, once again, you have many children that are bullied and don't kill themselves. You have many children that get into fights.
You're correct.
I reject the idea...
okay, Dr. Henry.
But I'm not a doctor. It's my opinion.
Okay, Dr. Henry.
And Phil, I have the front page of the Buffalo News with the article right here. And you are definitely correct. And it says this, that they threatened her with a knife and they would stab her. It would go through like butter. And there were words that they
did not. That's when she gets up and she calls the police. And has the kids restrained and frisked them for a weapon, and that's the end of the game. And if anybody tries to sue there, they're going to lose.
Right. And one other thing, this could fall under the elderly abuse.
Well, I don't know if Mr. Henry, if you're a doctor or if you're Perry Mason.
You know, ma'am.
Yes.
You know, every night I listen to this show, and every night I hear you on this show. And
no, I am not on.
Night,
no, I know. No, I'm not. No, I'm not on every night.
Okay. Nine times out of ten, when you are wrong. You know,
according to you. But my
this lady. Do you know how much
you got two sons? You got two sons that put swastikas. And I got to take a break, Gary. I appreciate your call very much. You got two sons that had swastikas on synagogues. Okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So what?
So what? So what? 877-876 Phil. Unbelievable. And she was worried that maybe they'd been raped or something. Something happened to her dear boys. Karen Klein, the lady, the bus monitor, who was bullied by two boys on the bus. These boys, by the way, have since apologized. In the meantime, an online campaign was started by a gentleman in Toronto who raised money for Karen, $500,000, and said, Karen, take the money, go on vacation. What do you think? Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley believes the money should go back, if, in fact, she's even taken it. And the next time she monitors on a bus, maybe she ought to get a little milfy looking like Bobby. 877-8, I'm sorry to have to talk this way about this woman, but 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Will be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Gotcha.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Lunatic Watson, who is another attorney. We'd actually promoted Mr. Watson's appearance on the show. I hope I'm getting his last name right. He's also a friend of Harvey Weierman's, so we'll have two attorneys commenting on this case in a moment. A bus monitor. She's sitting in the back of the bus. Why is she there? To monitor the behavior of the children, to make sure that they're not crawling out the windows, lighting firecrackers, pulling guns, you know. It's probably not the easiest job in the world. It is a job of setting all kinds of limits. That's where it's at. You don't have time to practice too much child psychology. Ms. Dooley and Mr. Dooley are on the line here talking about Bobby dressing in MILF clothing and all this stuff. But what happened was the lady was harassed and hassled and manhandled and threatened outright by these two boys. One of them saying, as you just heard that gentleman, our last caller, and this has been verified, one of them saying that he would stick a knife in her, that he would stab her. That's when she would have had every legal right in the world to basically restrain these two boys, keep them from leaving the bus, keep them from going into the schoolhouse, and calling the police and having them investigate this threat. As it is, she has been the recipient of $500,000 in a trust fund as the result of this video of her taking this abuse going viral. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And my question, as I had initially posed at Bobby and Steve, and then we'll get to some more phone calls, is the idea that the two of you believe a MILF or somehow a hot, sexy bus monitor would never have to deal with these two violent boys, that they would just be all entranced and enthralled by the beauty and the sexuality of this woman. Are you telling me this is how we, subdue or otherwise mitigate bad behavior among 13-year-old boys?
No, I'm not, Phil. I'm not about to get on a bus and sex it up for 13-year-old boys. What I'm saying is, you know and I know that given the choice between your best friend's hot-looking mother and one of your buddy's moms who was dumpy and frumpy and frightening,
frightening,
that you'd much rather go to your friend's house where his mom's walking around in a bathing suit. That's all.
Okay, what has that got to do with the bus monitor?
I'm saying that if I'd been on that bus, and no, I'm not going to get into suggestive clothing, am I wearing a skirt? Yes. Am I wearing heels? Yes. Am I sitting and chatting and, looking at my nails? In other words, I'll do anything. I'll do anything for $500,000, to be perfectly honest with you. I don't think there's a woman out there that wouldn't. And I don't think that makes me a whore. That's what I know you're thinking.
I haven't said anything of the sort, and I haven't indicated anything of the sort. What do you mean, that's what I'm thinking?
Because, Mr. Henry, I know that's what you're thinking. When I say I'll do anything for $500,000, you're thinking, oh, what a whore, aren't you?
No, I am not. No, I'm not.
Well, you're lying.
Yeah, you're lying.
Well, let me ask you a question. Would you do anything for $500,000?
I think I just said that.
Well, doesn't that make you a whore?
No, it does not. It makes me a woman that cares about her family and cares about keeping bread on the table and food in the mouths of her children.
You'd do anything for $500,000?
I would. That woman who sat there and listened to two 13-year-old boys talk a lot of crap, and she gets $500,000 for that. I got to tell you,
I got to give it back, Mr. Rand. That's all I was saying. And the man in Toronto, if he really going to give it to her.
Well, that's the other thing. We don't even think that guy in Toronto's going to give it to her. I think there's a lot of crap. People are just talking garbage. Just a lot of garbage.
Well, if they're talking garbage, Bobby, then the boys are talking garbage, the guy's talking garbage, the mother's talking, and even you're talking garbage. Nobody means anything that they're saying. And so, therefore, I don't think anybody really has to get bent out of shape. The boys didn't mean what they were saying. Did they mean it that they were going to kill her? Did they mean that they were going to cut her?
No, I don't think they did.
All right, so they're talking garbage, like you said. And so there wasn't any need to take that $500,000. So that guy doesn't really have to give her the $500,000. So he should keep it.
No, he shouldn't keep it. He should give it back.
Why? Why should he give it back?
Well, because he got it for the lady. And if she's not going to take it, then he's not going to take it. The Nate's not going to take it.
Yeah, the people that sent it, the people that sent it shouldn't even be allowed to take it because they were stupid enough.
Well, then where should the money go?
That's why I'm saying that money should be contributed to parent-teacher organizations. Like ours. And, you know, if you want me to be perfectly honest, I would say that we would take that $500,000 and we do a lot more good with it at the Western States PTO than giving it to this woman who would blow it on some real cheap cruise to Alaska or something like that.
Yeah, a lot of, you know.
Well, I don't think it would be a cheap cruise, okay? Because it would cost plenty.
Well, it would cost plenty, but it would be very cheaply done, you know.
All right, I don't know. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here on the line. We have Vincent. Go ahead, Vincent. And then we got Harvey Wireman coming up. Vincent?
All right, yeah, I'm here.
Yes, sir.
So I guess first off, I'm having a hard time understanding where their train of thought is even coming from. I think it's funny that you believe that a lot of the listeners would agree with you because I think exactly the opposite. I believe that your opinions are twisted.
I just agree with the fact that the woman, the $500,000 is ridiculous and should be given back. Don't you think?
I don't.
No, honestly, I believe that it shouldn't be given back. I mean, who's going to give it back, honestly, first off? And second off, you know, I can agree with you to some degree that, you know, there are a lot of jobs out there where people take a lot of abuse. You know, I've worked in a call center for a long time before and get verbally abused constantly throughout the day, you know, and I never
believe
seen anything for it, but,
well, I
you know, it's not like she was sitting there expecting it either.
Hold on, Vince. We got to take a break, Vincent. Hang on, man, because you've been hanging on for a long time, so we want to get your phone call in. Bobby and Steve Dooley is on with us as well, or are on with us, or am on with us, here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL.
Phil, your grammar, I'm sorry to interrupt.
I'm sorry, too, that my grammar.
Am with us, are.
Yeah, Jethro.
Yeah, Jethro. You see, this is the problem, Phil.
Yeah, thank you. Hold on. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. As we talk about the money given to the bus monitor, should she give it back? Bobby and Steve Dooley believe that she should.
My name is Dooley,
Phil,
not Booley.
Phil Henry.
Now, what am I, Steve Booley?
Yeah, hi, we're the Booley. God.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. 7445 is the world famous Phil Hendry Show. We have Harvey Wireman and Lunatic Watson coming up, both attorneys, and both talking with us about this Karen Klein case. We also have a gentleman hanging on the line. This is Vincent and Bobby and Steve Dooley. And Vincent, you were making the point that the opinions you're expressing here, Mr. and Mrs. Dooley, that the audience agrees with you that the money should go back, that the that she's not entitled to it. How do you make that statement when already people have given $500,000?
I don't think they anticipated that. I think it was a gesture. I don't think anyone anticipated that she's going to keep it. I don't think, where does she get off getting $500,000? I don't understand it, you know? And so I would think that the most reasonable thing would be to say, thank you for your $500,000, but all I do is sit. Frankly, she sits in the back of a bus. And if there was a time in the history of this country, Phil, and Steve, you know, when the African Negro, whatever they called them, that's where they were kept. So I don't think she deserves anything for that.
What has that got to do with anything?
Talking about the black people were in the back of the bus.
And that's where she was. Okay. So why don't they give black people money? Why did they give that to her? They took abuse.
All right, Vincent, are you there?
Yes.
Go ahead, sir.
All right. Well, first off, I'd like to say I think that that the Dooleys are a prime example of probably how these boys' parents are. That's why they feel the way that they do. And, you know, who's to say that you would actually, you know, given the $500,000, you know, it's pretty easy to say that you would give it to, you know, the school districts and whatnot. You know, when it's not actually in your hands, and you say you'd do anything for $500,000, but you know, have you ever considered the fact of maybe getting a job? You'd make $500,000 eventually if you had a job. As far as I understand, you're just a stay-at-home wife. You know,
my husband has a wildly successful landscaping business, so we're doing very well.
Then why do you care about $500,000?
Has a business, and you're about to say that because all she does is sit on a bus. That's her job. That's how she pays her bills. That's how she probably feeds her children or fed her children, was being a bus driver. I just really don't see how you have any room to talk, considering the fact that you don't have a job. You don't have to deal with any of these types of things that she has to go through.
I just don't see that you
have room to talk.
You selected your husband.
I selected my husband well. I knew that he was a good earner.
Well, okay, but where do you get off talking about this lady and the money that she's getting?
I think, Phil, that, first of all, this is money that, at the back of a bus, were black people.
Oh, will you get off that kick, okay? That's got nothing to do with this.
Well, what do you mean?
Three-quarters of the points you're trying to make aren't even related, nor do they make any sense.
Are you telling me that black people weren't in the back of the bus and didn't get abused? Because if that's what you're trying to say...
No, I'm trying to say that that's entirely unrelated to the topic.
Unrelated.
Altogether.
Well, how do you know? The black people would probably have little punk kids saying stuff.
Oh, for God's sake, sir. If that was the case, that was... You know what? There was a lot of stuff going on in this country that was unjust. We're living in the year 2012 now. We can go back and redress whatever at a given time. But right now we're talking about a woman monitoring children. This isn't back of the bus like other adults. This isn't a law that put that woman there. She is employed by the school district to...
Mr. Henry, I can hear you going, you're not really sure.
Yeah, you're not clear of your point.
Yes, I am clear of my point.
Well, you're going, which means you're trying to think ahead.
You're starting to make this debate pretty uneducated and
I'm sorry.
Pretty...
No, I'm not. I learned that in a debate class.
You learned what in a debate class?
When someone goes on, they're not thinking. They're thinking way ahead.
Oh, and now you're laughing at me? Does that make me some kind of a...
You think my wife's
that was a laugh. And it's no different than what you've been doing this entire time. You're trying to poke and prod. You're being immature. at this point. It's not even hardly an educated debate anymore at this point.
It's not an educated debate, and you're talking about black people at the back of the bus. It has nothing to do with anything.
What, because you say so?
Yeah, because I say so, because I'm conducting this debate, because I'm moderating this discussion, and because I'm saying you're off point. And,
do you guys have
Vincent,
kids?
I appreciate
Yes, we do. We have three sons, and I said to Mr. Right. Henry that when Seth and Dylan were brought back by the L.A. sheriff one afternoon, we were upset, we were concerned. Right.
I heard that story. I realized that, I'm having a hard time understanding. So did you teach your sons that they should only respect adults who they find sexually attractive? And because as far as I remember, you know, I might have had throughout my entire education maybe one or two teachers who were attractive. That doesn't make any difference on whether or not I respected
they respect police. You respect the police, they're not sexually attractive. I said
what was that point even trying? What were you trying? Where were you trying to go at that point?
If my boys were brought back by the police.
Respect?
Because they'd spray painted swastikas on a synagogue. What's that got to do with dressing hot?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's
where are we going
that
with
part.
This now?
Yeah, that's why these two boys that you have who did that, they've got serious problems too. As serious as these other boys that threatened that woman. Yes, yes, yes. Swastika
is, you know, what
in
a synagogue is and what a swastika is and the clash between those two.
It's a church, and let's not get too...
Oh, let's not get too heavy about something that's trivial. You guys, those boys should have been charged with a hate crime.
Exactly.
How dare you, Mr. Hendry?
No, they should have been charged with a hate crime. All right, Vincent, I appreciate your call, sir, and we're going to take a phone call. Thank you very much, sir. Phone call from Harvey Wireman and Lunatic Wilson joining us, or Watson, rather, joining us here from San Marino, California. And I don't know who I've got on the line. I don't know if both of you guys are in the same office. Let's start with Harvey. Harvey, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good, Phil. And I got Lou here, who has been a partner of mine on and off for gosh. Lou, how long's it been?
I first met Harvey in the Marine Corps. It was before I was a lawyer, but I was a JAG officer, and
you were a JAG, all right.
Okay. Very funny, Harvey.
Well, you know, I listened to this conversation, and I thought I'd have to get in a good one.
But I've been in the Marine Corps. Then, of course, when I left the Corps, and I went back to law school in GI Bill and became an attorney, a criminal defense attorney, and I've worked with Harvey off and on for a long time. He was my mentor.
So, Harvey, you're a good deal older.
Yeah, I'm older. Yeah, I'm one of the original. He's a Marine. He's OG Marine Corps. I came in during the Korean era, and we've been working together for a long time. Phil, I know you use Lou. His name's Lewis Watson or Lou Watson. You use his nickname, but that's fine. That's what I tell you. His name's...
Yeah, it's Lunatic?
Yeah, Lunatic. You want to tell him, or you want me...
Go ahead.
Well, the story that you heard, if you ever saw the movie Training Day, where he told the story of a guy who put a bunch of peanut butter in his underwear, and then when in front of the judge, he pulled his wad of peanut butter out of his underwear and started eating it. You hear that one?
Oh, God. I heard that in Training Day, yeah.
Yeah, well, that was in the movie. He's talking about a movie, Lou.
I did it, Bill, in front of a Superior Court judge very early on in my career.
You, hold on.
That's why they call him Lunatic.
You took a bunch of peanut butter and put it in your shorts.
I put it down the front of my boxer shorts, yeah. And I said to the judge... Judge, we were looking for a ruling on a photostat copy, and the judge was not going to let us admit a photostat copy. It was a copy of a signature because the president, I guess a previous appellate, ruled against it, saying a photostat presumes, it's a whole bunch of legal mumbo-jumbo,
it presumes that it's been doctored, so they usually don't let a photostat in, but a judge was going to not, he wanted just to, so that the... so he could see it, you know, so he could present it to the attorneys and see that he wasn't lying. So the judge was done. So what'd you do, Lou?
Well, that morning I came in front of the judge and I had a wad of peanut butter in my shorts. I said, Judge, if you don't, you know, then I'm gonna have to reach into my shorts for some lunch. And the judge looks at me funny, and I reach down and pull the peanut butter.
So was that contempt?
Oh, yeah. What,
I got 30 days.
Yeah, he got 30 days contempt of court. And ever since then, we've been very fast friends, because any guy that pulls a stud like that...
Is a friend of yours, huh?
Is a friend, yeah, is a friend of mine.
So that's why they call you Lunatic Watson, huh?
Yeah, they call me that and a lot of other things, too.
All right. Harvey, what is your feeling on this woman, and Lou, you can weigh in, on this woman who was verbally abused by these kids on the bus. She was also threatened, we know now, because there's a tape recording of it, and she was manhandled. At least in one instance, she was touched or grabbed in some way.
Well, you know, Phil, you spelled it out pretty good, I have to say, unless you want to add something, Lou. No, I'll just say that Phil was right. If the boy, either one of the boys had threatened physical violence, then she had every right to call for police assistance or otherwise have the police make an arrest. And yeah, if she felt that she was in imminent danger, she has every right to defend herself.
You know, more to the point, Phil, is what you would do if you were told, and what I would do if I was, I know I'm a lawyer, but If a little punky kid, because my granddaughter's here, you know my granddaughter, Luke.
Yeah, beautiful girl.
And my granddaughter, Gretchen, you know, brings me my glasses when I ask for my glasses, you know. But lately it hasn't been very funny. She keeps bringing me the big glasses, you know.
The Disneyland glasses.
Yeah, she knows full well that Grandpa needs his reading glasses, you know. So I said to her mother, my daughter, Angela, I said, I'm going to pick that kid up, and I'm going to, you heard about the supermoon? Phil, you heard about that?
Yeah.
And I said to my daughter, you heard of supermoon, I'm going to make it super kid.
Well, that's funny.
I said, you want to see a super kid? And my daughter, what do you mean by that? I said, you know what the supermoon is? You know, Phil?
Yes, the supermoon.
I'm sorry, I didn't know if you knew what that was.
Yeah, it's the big moon that we had a couple months ago.
Right. And I said to my daughter, I said, if I'd have that kid, my granddaughter, but it's your kid. And I made that point with her, and I said, it's my granddaughter, but it's your kid. If she brings me those big giant glasses again, it's going to be super kid. And my daughter says, what the hell, you know, what do you mean by that? I said, do you know about the supermoon?
And okay, Harvey, I want to get back to this.
He wants you to talk about the case.
I'm going to talk about the case. I just want you to know about what I would do to these two kids. I'm telling you what I did to my granddaughter.
You said you'd make her a super kid.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean I'm going to make her a superhero.
No, he's talking about, Phil, that he'd launch her.
Yeah, I'd launch her. And
all right, you'd throw your own granddaughter, what, into outer space?
Yeah, I wouldn't really do that. I was just trying to get my daughter to understand that my granddaughter is so dumb she can't bring me my glasses when I ask for them.
She's a little girl, man. Didn't you tell me she's like two or three?
I don't care if she's two or three. She's a wireman, which means she knows what reading glasses are.
You're not really going to launch her.
Hey, Lou, I wouldn't really launch my granddaughter, no, but I said to my daughter, I'm going to make it a super kid. She's like,
wait, what do you mean?
Yeah, you know, I'm telling you, I can't believe sometimes that these people are blood relation, yeah. So what I would do is this.
All right, now we're coming up against the break. I got to take a break.
You got to take a break, huh?
Yes, I got to take a break, and I'm about ready to ask Lunatic Watson there what he thinks. How these kids should be dealt with, because you're having a hard time spitting it out, Harvey. 877-876-7445 is the number. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back in our News and Information Hour coming up next hour as well with Bob, with Robert and Bud.
Truth wow. is our bitch. The it's Phil Henry boob. Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, hold on. Harvey Wireman joining us here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with Lunatic Watson, Lewis Watson. He's a longtime partner. And, Lou, we haven't had the opportunity to talk with you. So tell us what you think. You haven't told us yet, Harvey.
Oh, yeah, you're going to get Lou. Who do you want to go first?
Well, I
said you should go first. He wants me to go first.
All right, but I mean, can we get to it?
Oh, yes, sir. We can get, you know, Phil.
I'm not trying to be a smartass. I got to, you know, Tarvey, you've been on the show long enough to know that we got time constraints.
All right, so you got time, all right. So, you told us I'd make the super kid. You got that, huh?
Yes, I got the thing about you launching your daughter.
I didn't say my daughter, did I?
No, he's talking about his granddaughter.
Granddaughter, okay.
Yes, my granddaughter. And I would never launch her, I'm just saying. All right? God.
All right, I can we get to it here?
Get to what?
Get to what you're going to do with these two boys that were rude to the lady.
Oh, okay. Sorry. No, you want to think about it? Think about it, yeah. Well, this is lunatic. Right here, my feeling is as simple as ABC. I would not put up with that behavior at all. And I would go one better, and they don't call me Lunatic Watson for nothing. It doesn't necessarily mean I'm pulling peanut butter out of my underwear in front of a Superior Court judge. It can mean something logical. And if I saw two boys, let's say I was the bus monitor.
Okay.
And they were hassling me, I would ensure there'd be no offspring. That generation, that line of that family would end. Because I'd kick the two of them so hard in the Royal American. That was my idea. I'd kick two of them right square and you'd see Super Kid. You'd see two super 13-year-old eunuchs. Eunuch! That's right.
Well, okay, so in other words, you wouldn't be an attorney. You'd be like some mafia hitman. You'd be like some thug.
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, you're talking about physically assaulting these two guys.
If the young men in question, Phil, and that was the, I believe you were discussing the fact that they had physically threatened this woman.
Well, yes, they had.
That's what I would do. You understand something, Phil? If someone threatens to cut you, you don't look up, you don't pull out your rule book and go, oh, gee, what do I do in this situation? You understand what I'm saying? And
no, I understand, but we're talking about, there's still law, you know.
Yeah, there's law, and then one of the laws is something, if I'm going to tell you this, and the lunatic's putting it very nice, if someone said to me that they're going to cut me, I wouldn't give them a chance to think about apologizing. I wouldn't give them a chance to think about maybe they said the wrong thing. I wouldn't even give them a chance to gloat over what they just said. I would drop them and let the chips fall where they may.
Well, you know what I would be, and I would be the attorney of record for Mr. Wireman, my colleague who would be in jail, no doubt, for assault. But I would certainly go before the judge and any jury and go against any prosecutor in an argument that says this man felt that his life was in peril.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, the Phil Henry Show. Let's go over to Margaret Gray checking in from Dicklin Syndicate in Santa Monica. Margaret, what do you think?
Well, I think it's a lot of marvelous bravado. I think it's a lot of male bravado here. Hello, Harvey.
Yeah, how you doing?
And Lunatic, I don't think.
Lou Watson, hello.
Hi, is it Lunatic or Lou?
Well, Lunatic to some, Lunatic to you.
Oh, all right. If you don't mind, I'll call you Lou.
Yep, that's fine.
I think, Phil, that the male bravado...
Wait a minute, you were asking him what to call him, and now do you know what to call him? You're talking to Phil.
Yes, because I want to talk to Phil as well.
Well, then why'd you waste my time trying to figure out my name? I'm only kidding. He's kidding, but I'm not.
Will you let me conduct this interview, if you don't mind?
Sorry.
Go ahead, Margaret.
My God, I don't know how you do it, Phil. I really don't. Whatever they're paying you, it is not near enough.
Well, that is true.
What I was going to say is I think all of this bravado is fine and dandy. I think it's very sexy. I think it allows all the little boys to play army, and they can go up into their fort, and they can hold off the bad guys. But I don't think that it addresses the real problem. What do we do with young people that are rude? And I think that...
Why don't you tell people what you did?
Why did I tell people what I did what?
Tell Lunatic what you did.
Harvey...
All right, you know, now I got to continue this into the... I got the news and information hour coming up.
Yeah, so what?
Well, usually I don't continue interviews into that hour.
Well, this one you're going to continue into that hour, okay? What do you think, lunatic?
I think you better, Phil.
Yeah, okay, lunatic.
And don't say that like a smartass, because he's got a whole other jar of Skippy.
All right, hold on, will you? 877-876-PHIL, The Phil Hendry Show.
Extra crunchy.
Phil Hendry.